good to see you tonight. We're glad you're here back in the house of God. We've got several people that we're praying about. I hope that you'll make them a matter of prayer. Take your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you find the place. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. And all that right there. Brother Darrell, he's down at Pinkston. If you see him, send me a text, let me know, and get a picture. He said he was going to tune in tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you're able to stand, look in verse 14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name, and I sent them not. Neither have I commanded them, and neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and a divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. Notice that, if you will, please, is that when we recognize is that I'm in the wrong chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. I got three ribbons here, and I had one of them in the wrong slot, but that's all right. Here we go. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word tonight. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We pray you bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We want to say thank you, Lord, that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there is none else. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach about a warning, and in fact is the title of I Warn You. Here's what it is. It's a personal thing, by the way, when you look into it. In chapter number 4, whenever you begin to read the first passages or the first and second passages, the Bible said, let a man account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, here's what a steward is. It's one who manages the affairs of another. And you and I that are saved tonight, we're stewards of God, and we're managing the affairs of God's word and God's work, and we'd better make sure that we do it right, that we perform it right, that we tell it right. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, the very first thing that we look at is in the lesson there that it involves preaching. And by the way, let me say to you that all the preaching that he's about to do in this whole chapter that's here, that he finally takes a breath and he says in verse 14, I write not these things to shame you. We're not trying to shame anybody with preaching of the word of the Lord. Every now and again, a lot of it gets on me. I know it probably won't get on you so much, but a lot of it gets on me. When I'm reading it, when I'm studying it, when I'm listening to it, and all that business there. You ever feel like whenever somebody's teaching and you ever feel like or somebody's preaching, somebody's teaching, somebody's testifying that it's getting on you? I wonder if they mean that for me. Is it getting on you? You feel guilty about it? Well, then why don't you take that to the Lord? Instead of just beating up the messenger, why not just thank God? It's not to shame you. But here's what it is, it's to warn us. We might be a little bit off track. And I know that as you begin to look into it, is that what are we being informed about? The mind of the Lord. If you want to be able to walk right and talk right, spit right and do what's right in fellowship with God, you're going to have to know what God said and be informed in the will of God and by the word of the Lord. And as a result of that, if you've got the mind of God from the word of God, then you'll know something about the consequences of disobedience. I said this morning there's a high price to pay for low living, and that's true. Well, make no mistake about it. If you go contrary to the mind of God, and by the way, ignorance will not be any excuse whatsoever. You know, in the day and hour, I've literally had people in days gone by that, I don't really want to know. If I'm doing wrong, I don't want to know it. Well, you're not going to be any less accountable for it. That's sort of like going to the doctor and saying, if I've got cancer, please don't tell me. Or whatever it is that you've got going on. In this lesson here that you're looking at, and I don't want to get too graphic and all of that business there, but I know a man that was having a few chest pain, thought it was indigestion, and all that business there. And of course, he didn't want to go to the doctor and find out what was wrong with him. And I can tell you right up front is that there was a man that used to live for God, walk with God in the word of the Lord and so forth and on. And then he got away from God altogether. He's the man that I told you that as I sat at a table and told him that, hey, you'll either get this straightened out or God'll straighten it out for you. Yes, and it wasn't but a few weeks later, and he died in a motel room with a woman who was not his wife. You may not want to know exactly what you're doing, being right or wrong in the sight of God, but that's not going to exempt us from it. It's better to be able to know and just get it squared up with God and straightened up with God. Notice, if you will, please, is that in verse number 9, something about these apostles that are here. This Bible said that when you begin to look, well, let's see here. Let's back up, first of all, and let's look at verse 5. All right, therefore, judge nothing before the time till the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now, I want you to watch it. Is that I've had people that literally, whenever they get into conviction, and first thing we want to do, it's our carnal nature, to go to passing the buck. But let me tell you right up front, just so that you'll know it, is that people are always saying, judge not, lest you be judged. They know that phrase. But have you ever had anybody, when you compliment and said, buddy, I guarantee you, there's a wonderful Christian. They don't ever tell you, judge not about that. You just made a judgment whenever you do that. You know what God said? You better be careful about making even a positive judgment until the Lord comes. There's going to be a lot of people that are out there that you thought was all right, not going to be all right, and when the Lord comes, it'll be made manifest. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, notice, if you will, in about verse 6, these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, and that no one of you be puffed up one against another. In other words, he goes to asking about who makes you different than anybody else? Well, the Lord, that's natural. And as a result of that, then he asks in verse 7, the last phrase, then why doest thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? In other words, you ain't got anything that you didn't have to receive from God. Nobody can pat theirself on the back and impress God. Whatever you've got that's good, it came from God. Notice, if you will, please, in this lesson you find that he says, I know you're rich and reign as kings and so forth and all that. I would to God you did and so forth, reign as a king. But in verse 9 now, for I think that God hath set forth the apostles last as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ, and we are weak, but ye are strong. We are honorable, or ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even in this present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We're naked and buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. Now, that doesn't sound like a real glamorous life, does it? The apostles had had some power and gifts that others didn't have. These were men that said, hey, we are fools for Christ. We're a spectacle to the world. We've got no certain dwelling place. You know, when I leave here tonight, I've got a place to call home if the Lord lets it stand. By the way, I'm glad God protected all of you while we were gone in that storm. Man, it looked like it run through and breathed havoc across the country, and I'm glad that God took care of everybody and protected you. This Bible said that these apostles, they were defamed. These apostles, they were busy trying to labor, trying to make a living with their own hands in verse 12. They were being reviled, and yet, he said, we had to try to keep blessing people anyway. Let me say to you, while they were looked upon as the offscouring of the world, and they were, there's no doubt about that, I got to say to you, the apostles here were a spectacle as far as the world is concerned, and though they had certain gifts that were in their disposal, they dared not use them to even convert a sinner. You know why? Because in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, look what he said in verse number 5. that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let me tell you, there wasn't a lot of glitter. There wasn't a lot of glamour. These men preached the word unapologetic. And let me tell you, they paid a price for it, and no two ways in ten about it. All right, notice if you will, please, is that in the lesson that we've read tonight, in verse number 14, I write not these things to shame you. You know, every time you hear the word of the Lord and it knocks on your heart or convicts your heart, then all you've got, God's in the forgiving business and he's a gracious God. And all you but need do is bow your head and heart in humility unto him and repent toward God and the Lord Jesus Christ and let him restore fellowship between you and him. Let me say to you, these are things not just to shame you, but these are things that we might be corrected by. Notice, if you will, please, in the lesson, that in that very, and don't lose your place, but notice over there in the book of 1 Thessalonians, in chapter number 5, there's a passage there that we want to look at. In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter number 5, it's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, to warn them, there it is, that are unruly and comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Now I want you to watch them. Did you know that even in the early church there was unruly people? There's always been unruly people in the house of God. There is at this present hour unruly people down at the house of God. Now, the fact is, there are unruly people, but you better make sure you're not one of them. Amen. See that? You don't have to be one of them. And you know the reason why and what will keep you from doing that? Never jump on somebody else's bandwagon. You see what I'm talking about? I mean, if you've got somebody and all of a sudden, hey, is that you just all of a sudden decide to jump whatever direction because that you like the person or find the person or got confidence. The right thing is to make sure, and God warns us, there's always been unruly, there'll always be unruly. Make sure you're not unruly with them. In this lesson that we're looking at, make no mistake about it, best thing to do is get the right information. Over in the book of 2 Chronicles, and I'll give you time to find that because this is the third time this warning thing that we're looking at. In the book of 2 Chronicles, in chapter number 19, chapter number 19. In this lesson that you're looking at, verse 10, here's a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. Remember whenever Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and remember that Ahab was the king of Israel, those other 10 tribes. And you remember that Ahab wanted Jehoshaphat to come down and help him take back Ramoth Gilead. So he fixed him up a nice a big supper, dinner, whatever it was, and began to present his desire and petition to him. And, of course, Jehoshaphat was gullible, and as a result, you'll find that that Jehoshaphat, the king, suckered him and said, look, I don't want to take the place of being the king. Why don't you dress up in all your kingly array and we'll let you be the representative king out there? He knew that all that bunch of enemies were going to come and fight against the king. If you knock the king out of the saddle, you've won the war. Well, Jehoshaphat, he bought into it. And boy, he got out there, and you remember that that host of Syria, as that are the, they had already informed their guys, let's not lose a lot of men in battle. Let's not waste a whole lot of time. Let's go after the king. And they took out after old Jehoshaphat, and boy, got him hemmed up, and he began to scream because he's not the king of Israel. That's the one that remembered that whenever the man drew the bow at venture. And I mean, there's so many Jews out there, he don't know where Ahab is, but I guarantee you God did when he turned that arrow loose, it hit him between the joints of the harness, and he died in his chariot that was right there that day, and the victory of Israel was lost. But now look in chapter number 19 of 2 Chronicles and notice, if you will, please, in verse number 1. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And then he talked about Jehu, the son of Hananiah. He said, the seer went out to meet him. Now here's a preacher going. Here's what he said to Jehoshaphat. Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is this wrath come upon thee from before the Lord. Then he tells him in the next passage to prepare to seek and be able to meet God. Then he notice in verse number 10, here it is. In 2 Chronicles 19, verse 10, and what cause soever that shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in your cities between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgment, ye shall even look, warn them, there it is again, that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren, this do, and ye shall not trespass. So in the lesson that we're looking at tonight, you'll find that the fact that God wants to warn us, I'll tell you what he's doing in our text that we're looking at, we're warned of that we might be informed and know the mind of God. In 1 Thessalonians, we just read it, we're warned that somebody in the congregation every now and again may become unruly. And we're warned that as a leader of a nation, is that we had better not trespass against the Lord and trying to help out the ungodly. I want to say it once again, just so you'll know it. There may be a few problems arise in your life and even in the church, but make sure that while people become unruly, you're not one of them. And if so be that you do, well, then get it straightened out. Do you know that life is a short thing, isn't it? I was thinking about even now, and I consider myself to be blessed by the Lord, that I'm in pretty good shape for my age. And all that. In fact, is I'm thinking about lengthening my run every morning. I know you don't know it, but I get up and I run to the bathroom, and it's right there. I'm thinking about running down the hall and then coming back and so forth and all. Maybe after the bathroom, because let me tell you, when you're an old man and you need to go to the bathroom, it's now. It's right now. It's not in a few minutes from now. It's right now. And so that's the way that it works. I just love old age. I kept telling everybody, you know, I didn't like old age. I hate old age, and that's the truth. I hate it. But I'm trying to be a little more positive. I said all that to say this, is that when you and I look into this Bible, life is short, but a short span. And I will tell you something right now. The Bible said over in the book of Job, chapter number 14, verse 1, man that is born of woman is of a few days, and full of trouble. So let's look at it real quickly. Here's the warning. The warning so we don't help the ungodly. The warning so we don't encourage the unruly. The warning is so we don't bring any shame upon ourselves or upon the testimony of the Lord. Now, in Proverbs, and turn quickly, and we'll be closing there. But in the book of Proverbs, I want you to look in chapter number 30. Now, one of the reasons why that we look at these passages and try to rehearse them over and over again in our heart is that it might be able to keep us from sin, and that it might be able to help us to walk in the light as he is in the light. Proverbs in chapter number 30 and about verse number 5. The Bible said every word of God is pure. I believe that. If you don't believe that, may God help you to finally see that. But every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. Notice, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. You look into this Bible passage, and let me tell you right now, the closer the coming of the Lord, the more that I want to reemphasize unto you, never make a blanket statement about what you believe about God if there's not a chapter and there's not a book and there's not a verse that you're basing it on. There's a lot of things that sound like common sense that you'll find out are contrary to the mind of God. And if you add to what God said, you're going to be found out to be a liar. See? As you look into that, the Bible said man is born to sinner. He's born to sinner without hope. He's born to sinner without God. Nothing he can do in and of himself. And let me tell you, he needs a Savior, and that's the only answer for the sin's condition of humanity. In the lesson that we're looking at, and you'll find that as I get older, it's not a matter of what to preach. Now it's a matter of what to leave out. And I was thinking this morning, Brother Matt was teaching the lesson, and I was thinking this morning, you know, if I remember right, that Moab was a product of incest. But I didn't want to dare blurt that out without making sure that that's, you know. You talk about forgotten more than I used to know. But I will tell you, the word of the Lord always be right. And just make sure you check yourself out. Whenever you're teaching a class, whenever you're preaching a sermon, whenever you're witnessing, hey, make sure that you know exactly what you're talking about. And let me tell you, it'll be let God be true and every man a liar. Now, you know where we're at? We're in the day and hour to where that if somebody disagrees with us, listen, God said it. It's a settled matter in your heart. You don't have to make anybody else believe it or not. Whether they ever believe it or not, it's not going to change God one iota. Well, I have you to know that I know a lot of preachers that have got a lot of degree. I don't care how many preachers you know, how many degrees they've got. Here's what thus saith the Lord. We've lost that in America. We've lost that. I can tell you right now, I'm not interested in listening to Dr. Bottle Stopper. I want to hear what the word of the Lord had to say. See? I'd rather hear a cornbread fed preacher that knew what God said and that mispronounced a few books, like calling it Job instead of Job. There's a passage over there somewhere in the New Testament. Let me see if I can remember it right. And remember that passage over there where Jesus said to them that he that's not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Remember that? Old Brother Galen, ask him if he still hadn't lost what little mind he's got left. But he went and heard a preacher one night. And when he read that as though the old preacher that was reading it, or the young man, or the simplified, he read that and said, but he that is with me, gathereth with me, and he that gathereth not, scratcheth the board. But he reared back, old Brother Galen said, and went to preaching like a house of fire. And he kept on saying, can you imagine dying without God, having to scratch a board the whole time you're in hell and all the splinters up underneath your feet? I will tell you, son, he is plugged in. Old Brother Galen said, man, the altar's filled up during the invitation time. A lot of board scratching went on. I want to tell you, it's good to be saved and to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And I'm looking with great anticipation to his coming again. All right, let's stand to our feet and our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us. We've got others that we're praying for that we've laid before you. I pray you to have your will and way and meet every need according as their hope and faith be in thee. Thank you now for all you